shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and that's just that's the facts, Jack. And, of course, this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Welcome to the program tonight. We've got Art Griego on with us, Mr. Griego, who is a retired commercial pilot, and he's going to talk to us about the, I was going to say bizarre rant of the Southwest pilot. It wasn't bizarre, because I think if you're a man, you've probably heard that before from other men, but what was bizarre about it was that it was a rant by a Southwest pilot against gays, against ugly women, against old women, and just basically against the quality of people he had to party with once he landed in a city, the quality of people that Southwest hires. And this got out over the airwaves and was heard by air traffic controllers. And at one point, one of the air traffic controllers says to the pilot of the aircraft, I believe, or one of the other pilots that's nearby, says, tell him to shut up. Because this is being recorded and is being heard by the air traffic control center. So we're going to talk with Art Griego about that. We're going to start off with the Citizens Auxiliary Police and stepping up their patrol duties for the summer 2011. There is a training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View, or Stalker Point of View. It is a Citizens Auxiliary Police training film, a copy of which was received by one of the local newspapers, and we're going to have Jay Sanis on to explain this. It has an unusual point of view, and it is one that could have land the organization in a little bit of hot water. So he's going to be on to talk about this Stalker's Point of View training film that was produced by the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. We call it the Patriot Line, so you're invited to call us and to be a part of the evening's festivities. Of course, we always include in our welcomes every evening our affiliate spotlight, and tonight we spotlight WDTW in Detroit and KBBO Yakima, Washington, two stations along the Phil Hendry Radio Network. And if you're watching us in HD on Phil TV, then you have a backstage pass to the Phil Hendry Show website. If you don't, get one. Go to philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming.
Hey, you want some water?
I got it. Our live streaming. Our live streaming what?
I don't know.
Our live. You mean you don't know? Our live streaming video. That's it. Our video cast here from the El Pacifico, and behind me the roiling surf of the El Pacifico, and right here is something that scares Bud. We call this the sun god face. Look at that.
It looks like a Japanese flag.
Oh, take it easy. 877-876-PHIL on hold and very, very patiently on hold. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, formed in 1997 in the South Bay of Southern California. The Citizens Auxiliary Police is a volunteer, but more than just a volunteer police agency. It is an auxiliary police agency. It's not a vigilante group. These are men who consider themselves support, and that is auxiliary support for the police. Jay, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very well, Phil, and always great for you to have us on your program. Appreciate it.
And I know that this has come as some bad, bad public relations for you, and that is this training film, correct?
Well, we are not exactly sure how or why this training film has been reviewed by, in two instances, the Santa Monica paper, as well as, I believe, one of the Palos Verdes dailies. And I think the L.A. Weekly also has a copy of it. We don't know why. It is a training film, and it's a training film that we use as a Citizens Auxiliary Police, as an auxiliary police agency. We're on the front lines of law enforcement. And what we're trying to do and what we're all about is saving lives. And if we cannot do that, if we are kept from doing that, if we are made a object of ridicule while we try to do that, then we don't feel there is much that can be done to enforce the law and to make our streets, make our homes all more important, surely, to make our homes safe.
Well, but you can't blame anybody other than somebody inside your organization for leaking this, right?
No, we don't necessarily think that is the case. We think that there was a copy of this film that was left out, and I would say that we, I would indict my organization on the extent that we did not secure this film. It was then left in a place where it was compromised, secreted in some fashion by an individual who then took it and gave it to these news agencies. There is absolutely nothing on that film that in any way, shape, or form constitutes a criminal act. In point of fact, it is a film, it is a video of us trying to train our young men and women in being citizens, auxiliary police officers.
All right, now let's tell people what is on this video. And I know you don't want me to do it. You'd rather do it.
Well, absolutely. The point that we tried to make when we were alerted to the fact that this had been leaked to the press was that this was a piece of video that was a training effort showing the criminal point of view. We've had, and I'm sure you understand, the rash of sexual assaults in the city of Los Angeles and in the outlying areas that begin, and law enforcement will tell you this, they begin as individuals who are stalking homes, looking through windows, and observing the occupants of those homes while they feel that they're not being observed, while they feel they are safe within the security of their own home. In point of fact, there's these peeping Toms.
And I understand that. And peeping Toms eventually, in many cases, become rapists. So I understand that.
Well, let me finish what it is that I'm trying to say, and I can get some questions. So the training film is very simply one that was shot by myself and Randy Gleason, who's one of our sub-commanders. We also have Major Elvis Newton, who was bringing an equipment van. And I think we had Jerry Clemens, too. Is that right, Randy? So Jerry Clemens is also one of our sub-commanders. And I think Jerry was with Major Newton in an equipment van. We used the equipment van to transport us from home to home. The film, or the video, is a point of view. And again, I want to underline that. Point of view of a criminal.
And what does it show?
It shows the point of view, Mr. Henry, of the perpetrator.
And all right, so it shows the point of view. So is this a video that shows women in their bedrooms?
It is a video, and here is where we got into trouble, and this is where I believe a couple of these periodicals are going to be, you know, have done things actionable. I want to sue.
And all right, but I understand that you feel that you'd like to sue and that you've been misrepresented. Can you tell me what the video shows?
I will tell you what the video is about. It is the point of view of a peeping Tom. It is the point of view of an individual who could very well evolve into a violent criminal, a rapist, or worse. It is the point of view of a individual that stalks homes, that stalks neighborhoods, that goes door to door, house to house, and peers in the windows of unsuspecting people. This is very, very valuable training footage for those of us on the front lines of law enforcement.
All right. Now Jay, I don't want to embarrass you, and I know that...
We have done nothing, Phil, to be embarrassed about.
I understand that. But can you please tell me, if you wouldn't mind, what exactly is depicted so that we understand what the issues are here?
What is depicted is the point of view of a person who is invading the privacy of individual homes. It's what he sees as he goes along the darkened walls, if you will, and the shadows and areas of darkness and areas of cover in the out of doors at night, moving from one house to another house. So you're seeing...
Yeah, I know that, but that's not what caused the stir, because when this video...
You want me to tell you what is exactly in these videos, and I would ask you why.
Well, if you say this is the point of view of a peeping Tom, let me just ask you, do we see naked women?
When you say we don't see anything, because this was not intended for the general public. It's a training film. Now, this film was originally taken back, this video, I should call it, because it is video, it's digital video. The video was taken back to Sub-Commander Gleason's home. We were using one of the sheds in his backyard as one of our sub-commander posts, and at that time, we took the video, and we had the other subcommanders there, as well as Major Newton and a couple of other people we know from retired law enforcement, and we reviewed the footage to make sure that we got the point of view that we wanted to get, and we judged it to be standard, we judged it to be suitable, we judged it to be perfectly suitable for what we wanted to do.
All right, we're talking here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. They're being threatened with a couple of lawsuits and invasion of privacy, etc., because there is, training film that is called the Night Stalker Point of View. It was a piece of video footage shot from the point of view of a peeping Tom. Who was holding the camera?
That camera was mounted on a helmet that I was wearing. So it was a helmet cam. I was moving along the wall. I was being directed by Subcommander Police and Major Elvis Newton. They were directing me as to which angle to get, at which point of the house I should turn and look in the window, which point of the house I should move along the wall.
Okay, so you were the operator of the camera?
The camera was on my person.
But there were people directing you as to which way to turn?
That's correct, Richard. That's correct, yes.
Did you have a viewfinder?
I had one eye viewfinder. I had a viewfinder that snapped down from the camera that I could look at, yeah.
All right.
And you asked me that question, why? Because, I'll tell you why, Phil.
Well, I asked the question.
Let me tell you why, because I've had just about enough of people asking me questions about, did you get your, will you get your cookies looking at...
No, I'm not asking you that. I just wanted to know who was looking through this camera. Now, you say you weren't directing it, that the others were directing you, but you could see through the camera what you were looking at.
That's correct.
All right, what were you looking at?
I was looking at the point of view.
No, I've heard you say that already, Jay, but I mean, you know, let's be honest. Were you looking through bedroom windows at women dressing and undressing?
I was looking at what a peeping Tom, what a successful peeking, peek-a-tom would look at. In other words, if he were successful in his peak, in his, I don't know what they call it, you know, because I can be honest with you, I mean, we've busted these people before, but what they themselves call, if he was successful in his peekaboo, in a night of peekaboo, or however they do it, if he were successful, then he saw what I saw.
And that, I don't understand that. I don't understand.
In other words, Phil, if this were a peeping Tom who were successful at his
spying on people.
Exactly, at spying on people, then he would definitely have seen what I saw, and that's what makes it a good training film. And
why are you reluctant to tell me what it is that you saw?
I'm not reluctant. I don't think I need to. I think you can pretty much use your imagination.
And all right, so let me get this straight. And our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So,
And one more thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
We got probably 20 minutes of good footage. We were out 2 hours, but we only got 20 minutes of quality training footage. And we went back to the, as I said, the substation. There was some commentary that there was music or there was beer drinking. I can tell you that is a slander.
And were you guys drinking beer watching this stuff? Because it has the feeling of a stag party.
Not at all. That is a lie that was perpetrated perpetrated for the most part by this newspaper reporter.
All right, Jay Sanis with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A training film that was produced by himself and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, where they literally were peeking in the windows of women changing their clothes. So they were giving you the point of view of a peeping Tom. Well, there's one problem with that. They are actually the peeping Toms. Now, they don't feel that way. They are not releasing the videotape. They are defending themselves against the threat of lawsuit, and they say that what they did absolutely did not violate the law. We're going to talk more with Jay, and we also want to get your feelings as well at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police about this Night Stalker training film that it literally was them filming women undressing, and they feel it was legal what they did to train their officers. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Is that true? I want to see it. I got a copy of it.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, and welcome, folks, to our nightly radio for Patriots by Patriots here from the El Pacifico in California, across the country. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police has joined us. We're going to talk with him in just a second about this training film that was not supposed to have seen the light of day, and I think I understand why. And they are maintaining that no law was broken, as they as a training film went out and rolled video footage walking along and peeping in windows. Their idea was to create a training film showing the criminal's point of view. 877-876-PHIL. A reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com, and at our website you pick up a backstage pass. It gives you access to our Phil show, our Phil TV in HD, our video casts each night, as well as our daily podcasts of the show, as well as our archives that go back some 15 years, thousands and thousands of hours, as well as our webisodes, as well as our rants, as well as our newsfeed. It's on and on and on. And stop by the Phil Hendry Show shop and pick up one of our best of CDs, our t-shirt, our mug, our shot glass. I mean, we got it all, man. It's like a supermarket over there. PhilHendryShow.com. All right, Jay, I want to get some people commenting on this. I also want you to tell me that if you were out there doing what you were doing and a police officer rolled along, what do you think would have happened?
Well, Phil, we were out there, and again, this is something that you probably don't understand, probably a lot of your listeners don't understand. It's all about intent. If my intent is to simply make a training film of women that are of what a peeping Tom is going to do, then that's my intent. If a police officer came along at that time, there would have been professional courtesy. We certainly would have explained to him what we're doing, and we would have been a tip of the cap and honest merry way.
And so a police officer in a black and white, while you guys are there in your camouflage as the Citizens Auxiliary Police, he sees you with a video camera on a helmet, and you're looking in women's windows. And
we are not there to look at these women as a sexual, what's the word that they use, prurient interest. We are looking at the situation so that we can take it back and train our sub-commander and how they're going to do it. But it has nothing whatsoever to do with our prurient interest or getting some kind of a sexual thrill seeing it. I will tell you this much, Phil. When we went back and reviewed the footage, women really do expose themselves. And so we want people to know that there are peeping Tom out there, and women are in the window. You can look in a bedroom window and see what they're doing, and I would say to a lot of husbands, they're probably not going to like me for this, because I did have a camera on their wives. But I will tell you this, it's going to save their lives. And that's what we're about saving lives. The women who we filmed, even though they didn't know they were being filmed, would support the intent of this video, given how we was able to show how exposed they is. And I think their husbands, had they known...
Can I just say something to you? And
oh, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, that, I mean, the husbands would, if they'd found you out there, there would have been a riot. I mean...
Well, no, let's just remember what you're doing. We're dealing with Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know, we're going to explain to them, cool it down, back it up, you know, back it way down, cool it way down, or cool it out, you know?
Well, I tell you, if I'm a husband, I come out around the side of my house, I see guys there with a camera looking in the window, I go back around inside my house with my shotgun, come out...
Okay, if you open up on me and I'm outside your house, you're getting you're guilty of attempted murder.
I mean, I didn't say I'd open up, but I sure as hell would point that thing at you and tell you to get the hell lost. As a matter of fact, I'd have somebody in the house calling 911. I keep an eye on you jackasses.
You know, Phil, that...
I would.
Well, again, you don't understand anything about the law and intent. That's your number one problem.
877-876-PHIL. Oh, man, I wanted to get to some phone calls. All right, when we come back, we will get to the calls. I apologize, folks, but Jay Santos here, the Citizens Auxiliary Police, on this training film, The Point of View of a Peeping Tom. This thing got out. It has been looked at by the press, and they've got some problems. They don't think, though, that they have committed any crime. Your call is coming up at 877-876-PHIL. Be right back.
Well, you just keep running your mouth and...
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us. We have a situation here where, a blatant piece of invasion of privacy, in my opinion, has taken place, and that is this training film.
Phil, that we have shown, we showed this training film to one, you mentioned husbands, we showed this training film to one of the husbands who we were able to sit down and show him this film. It was, in point of fact, a piece of footage of his own wife exposing herself in a bedroom right through the window. So if you had a camera, you look in, you see it all, and she was engaged in some very private activity. And I said to him, I said, look at this. As your wife's in there, with a window, you know.
Was the window open?
The window had, the shade was drawn and the curtain was drawn, but there was an area where the curtain had caught on a piece of lamp or had caught on a piece of table, I'm not sure which, in which case I was able to lower myself by a couple of degrees and then look up, and I caught her reflection in a mirror.
And so you had to go through all kinds of gymnastics to get a look at this woman.
She was engaged in a bit of personal grooming, which I showed to this gentleman, Lauren, who was her husband. I said, look at that. And I made a joke. I said, looks like she missed a spot, and he laughed. But these are two people that fully appreciate what we've done.
You know, I got to tell you, man, you're taking your life into your hands, you know.
Why is that?
Because I don't know about this man that you talked to. Any other husband, I think, would be violent. Violent, knowing that you got a camera outside of his wife's bedroom and you've got pictures or video of her, you know.
We're not doing this for sexual prurient interest or to have a sexual, a lot of fun. Having said, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it as a training film.
And this idea that if a cop came along and saw you doing this, and it would be, oh, yeah, sure, professional courtesy, that is another one that I have very, very serious questions about. Let's go to a phone call. Natalie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Sir, you violated that woman's rights. Not only did you do that, but you instilled fear because the very people that were set out to protect her are the ones that violated her. You should be prosecuted.
Oh, we don't, man. We didn't violate her. I'm not taking that movie and going out and selling it so people can get their cookies. I'm using it as a training film for my subcommanders so we know the mindset of the pervert that's doing that. That's a difference. That's a big difference.
That's not a difference. That's just making you the biggest pervert of all, because not only are you teaching other people how to do it.
No, ma'am. We're not teaching people how to do it. We're showing these our subcommanders what are the tricks of the trade that a pervert is going to use. As I just explained to Mr. Henry, and I explained to his audience, this woman had her window closed, her curtains drawn, and her blind pulled down, except for one thing she didn't think about. And that is that a peeping Tom who really, really wants to look is going to find a way.
And oh, well, I mean, sure. And so you looked for a way.
I don't understand what you're saying. Are you saying that I'm having fun doing this? Because I can tell you I'm not. I'm doing this to protect the women themselves. And there she is. If it was you, Natalie...
You didn't protect her. You violated her because you did not let her know that you were doing this ahead of time.
I did let her know. I let her know afterwards, and she wanted to know some information.
You let her know afterwards?
Yes, sir.
And what did she say?
After I explained what we was doing, she went, we shook hands, and it was all big misunderstanding.
So that doesn't quite cut it.
It may not cut it for you, but I can ask you, ma'am. Let me just ask you. If you caught me with my camera looking at you, and I told you the reason I'm doing this is for training my officer.
I would have been tempted to grab a gun.
Well, I don't believe that. I think you don't sound like a violent person. You sound like a reasonable woman. And even if I caught you getting up off a toilet.
And are you kidding, man? Are you serious?
My job is to know people, Phil, and I think I know people pretty well. And this lady, she's a peaceful person. She's a truck driver. If you're a truck driver, what makes you think I'm going to want to get... Well, I better not say.
What does that mean?
Well, ma'am, is a peeping Tom really going to want to... You understand what I'm saying?
Do what?
If you're a truck driver, what peeping Tom's really going to want to linger longer than maybe like a second and a half and then go, okay, move on?
Oh, you're a jerk, too, because I'm a
driver. I'm asking, are you really all that much of a draw? All right, okay, I'm sorry.
What? You know, Jay, you know, the questions you're asking here, you get deeper and deeper as you dig these holes for yourselves. Thank you very much, Natalie. 877-876-PHIL. The question that I have is the following question. If a cop stops and sees you doing this, you feel you're okay.
As we explain to the officer what we're doing, which is basically the intent is that I don't have any intent, especially if I was at the window of a woman such as Natalie, who is a fine lady, but she's a truck driver, and... I suppose if I wanted to, I could show the officer the footage of her, and he'd say, I'm sure you'd agree with me, yeah, there's nothing really going on there, so...
Oh, I see. So in other words, you got film footage of a woman you may not think is attractive, and so therefore it couldn't possibly be for Peeping Tom purposes. It is strictly for the... it's not for you to get any prurient thrill. It's the Peeping Tom training film.
That is correct. Yes, sir.
And if you happen to have a really attractive woman on film, I wonder what the answer is. 877-876-PHIL. Dale in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Dale. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. What I was actually wondering is why didn't they not stage the training film, instead of going out and invading people's privacies? They could have actually hired models or actors and staged it and got their point tastefully. They didn't actually have to be naked or anything like that. They could have got their point of view of a training video tastefully, legally, without invading people's rights, using models and actors, instead of going out sneaking behind people's homes and invading their privacies without them knowing.
It's a good point, Jay.
I think it is a good point, but here's my answer, sir. If you use models, if you use actors, you do not have a real-time response. You don't have a real-time visceral response, and that's what we're looking for here. It's the same reason why police officers use in training real gunfire and stuff. You know, they'll shoot like a pig or something, and it's not a human, but they'll shoot something.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
so
you don't shoot a human, you shoot a pig, so you do something similar. You don't actually have to do the literal thing.
Right.
Well, there's no way to do that with a peeping Tom. You've got to get a real woman. And I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. I mean, how are you going to make up? How do you make that up? How do you say, now I'm going to put a camera in a window, and a woman's going to be in there with no pants on, and that's somebody I know who I hired? I don't think so. There's not a woman I know that's going to do it.
Oh, okay. That's just great. So let's go find a woman, an innocent woman, who doesn't know.
Well, Phil, any woman that knows that's happening is not of the highest morality. You know?
Well, what does that mean?
Well, what it means is if I hire a woman to stand there nude while I got a camera looking at her while she's grooming it, God!
She's a whore or something?
Well, it's not the highest. It's porn. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, Dale? Dale, you're in the Bakersfield area. Do you know the Bakersfield Colonels? Do you know who they are? The Bakersfield Colonels in Kern County are the auxiliary police agency in Bakersfield, California. And I suggest you talk with them, go in, read the brochures, read some of the material, talk to the sub-commanders up there. Talk to Commander Glahn, who has been with the Bakersfield Colonels. He's going to let you know, because they do the very similar thing. They go window to window, door to door, and they've got some footage. The women, you never know who they are. You know, you're looking at it.
So these guys are up there taking film footage. The women never know that they've been had their pictures taken, and these guys are looking at this as training.
Well, okay. I guess I'm sorry I said that, because now...
You bet. Now I know what's happening in Bakersfield. Thanks very much, Dale. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. As we talk here with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, how did this husband discover that you guys were at his window taking a digital video picture of his wife?
Well, you're talking about Jim Jensen, and Jim and his wife, Carolyn, they saw me when we brought our crew on property, and Jim wanted to know what we were doing, and I had the camera going through his wife's bedroom window, and we had already caught probably about 15 minutes of her bathing and getting ready for bed. When he came over and he said, "What are you doing?" I told him I was at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It was a training film. I said, "You're more than welcome to look at the footage that we have recorded." He did. Went back to the truck with Major Elvis Newton. Major Newton calmed him down and showed him the footage. We went into the house, explained it to both of them. I even offered to give them money, which they turned down initially, but then they went ahead and accepted that.
You gave them money?
Well, yes. We cut them a check for $2,000 so that they would feel covered. This is not anything, Phil, that we haven't done before. They did not want to feel as if his wife, some kind of whore or slut. And
so you paid them $2,000 for a piece of footage of the guy's wife undressing and dressing and everything else. And
this is not going to be shown publicly, is what I'm trying to say.
Only to your sub-commanders.
That is correct.
877-876-7445. Here is Conrad in New York. Conrad, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Mr. Santos, haven't you ever realized you are breaking the law? You are
you're
a peddling servant of the law, and you the law.
If the intent, sir, is to look at a woman in a dirty way or a prurient way, yes, I agree with you 100%. I'm breaking the law. But if the intent is to capture digital footage,
You just admitted to a crime. Okay.
No, sir. Because I was not looking at her. I wasn't looking at her. No, because you're wrong. I wasn't looking at her to get my sexual, kicks and thrills.
You're talking about, her shaving and getting graphic and like you're getting off on it. You know,
no, sir.
That is beyond the law. There, you in the under the guise of teaching the law, you're breaking the law. It's like, don't shoot heroin, but here, shoot this.
Sir, I'm not. I am not breaking the law. Because
this man is right. You talked about in very graph.
I'm not breaking the law because I'm not doing it to get my cookies. Okay, if you're doing it to get your cookies, you understand?
Okay, well, invite the desk sergeant down from your local police.
There you go. There you go. Why don't you invite the local police down?
Invite to do what? They know that what I'm doing. I don't understand. Why should I do that?
Because to make sure the cops see what you're doing, to make sure you're covered, and to make sure it's legal.
Well, I'll tell you what, when the police start... What's that?
Put on a little seminar for them. I'd like to see you do that. Because
What?
If you did that, they would lock your ass up and gone. Excuse me.
No, sir. I don't believe that at all. And to be honest with you, the day they invite me to come along on some of their little jaunts to the donut store or however, then I'll invite them on my job. That's the way you want to play that. If that's the way they want to play it,
you
want to play it like that.
And you are a police officer, and that's your point of police officers, the police.
No, sir, I do not want to be. I am a citizen's auxiliary. I don't want to be police officer. There's too much politics involved. I want to be a citizen's auxiliary.
Then you're playing. Then you're playing.
No, I'm not playing.
You're play acting, breaking the law.
No, sir.
And just living in this, your little fantasy world.
No, sir. I am trying to improve on the techniques of the police. And
how can you improve on the techniques of the police when you don't even know what their techniques are and you don't even know what the law is?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry. I'm trying to improve. We've got peeping Toms out there, okay? You agree on that one, right?
Yeah.
And so how do we stop them? The first way is to see what are they doing? What are they looking at? And maybe we could stop doing... You guys are
you're
really
breaking
stupid.
The law. You're breaking the law. Don't you
what
get
law
it?
Am I asking? No, I'm not breaking a law when my intent is to take
your
film
intent.
Footage. It's not to have, it's not to, you know, go back to the, it's not to go back to the shed, chase everybody out of there, turn the lights off, lock the door, and get my cookies.
Okay.
I mean, that's what, well, I mean, you guys.
No, it's not you guys. We're just trying to figure out.
Now, you guys, I tell you what you do. You go get yourself a box of Krispy Kreme, and you learn how to be a cop, and I'll do what I'm doing.
All right. 877, thanks very much, Conrad. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. In creating this training footage that he has been showing his sub-commanders. Now, this is an auxiliary police agency, not one that is accredited by the state. They have created what they call a point-of-view video. They go from a bedroom window to bedroom window with a camera mounted on a helmet as they take images of women dressing and undressing. In other words, peeping Toms. And then they go back and they look at this as a training exercise. What do you think about that from the standpoint of training police? Is it a violation of a woman's rights if the intent is not anything other than to train police officers? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we're going to be talking with Art Griego about the Southwest Airlines incident in which there was a pilot who had gotten on and talked disparagingly about the crews that he serves with, the Southwest crews, and how they are nothing much to party with because they're old and they're ugly and they're gay. And we'll talk with Art about that at the top of the hour. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with us is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You've heard the outrage of people here, Jay. You've heard them saying that you are breaking the law. You've heard them saying that you are invading their privacy. You've heard them saying that this is nothing that any law-abiding person would welcome. What do you say to that? You are there with a camera.
I mean, the thing I say...
You're there with a camera, and you are looking in bedroom windows, and you are recording the actions of women who are unclothed or disrobed, and you're taking that back, and for the private use of the Citizens Auxiliary Police as a training film, you're viewing this without the knowledge of the wife, without the knowledge of the husband.
One of the reasons why we came on your program tonight, Phil, was not just to defend ourselves against what we think are spurious attacks, what have come from the Santa Monica newspaper as well as the South Bay newspaper. One of the reasons why we have come on your program tonight is to tell those individuals who may be affected by our activities that they are more than welcome anytime to visit our substation, and as I mentioned, this week it is at Subcommander Gleason's house. He has a shed, which is in the back southeastern corner of his property, which is what we're using right now as a substation. And
what do you mean by a shed? What does that mean, a shed?
Well, it's a part of, it was a shed that he originally had put together for equipment, and we cleared it out and pulled, there were some lawnmowers in there and pulled those out, and that's where we process anybody we detain. And
you're using that as a substation?
That's correct, yes, sir.
A tool shed in someone's backyard?
We are not, yes, sir. We're the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are using part of our homes we write off for tax purposes as offices.
All right, go ahead.
So did you bring that up to embarrass me? I mean,
well, you said to me that there's a shed in the guy's backyard.
I mean, I told you there's a shed because you keep asking me what is it or where do you do?
No, I was just, you said that you took this digital footage back to a substation and viewed it. You said there's a shed, so you brought it up.
Yes, there's a shed. That's all I needed to say, is there's a shed. There's a shed, and that's it. And you start asking me, well, really, is it a tool shed? Oh, wow, and you're pulling lawnmowers out of it?
You told me that you're pulling lawnmowers out of it. I didn't know. I'm asking you. So you're using a tool shed?
Yeah. God, man. So, in other words, you brought me on your show tonight just to get to this point where I would say to you that I use as a substation a place where we usually keep lawnmowers and fertilizer. Is that what you did?
Yeah, that's it, Jay. That's, I planned for this entire moment.
God.
Phil Hendry.
I hope you burn.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
They tried, but I said, I'm not ready. I'm not interested in your...
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely.
It doesn't really make any sense at all.
If everybody's got to get in the game, we'll get in the game. Absolutely. You started your people...
Are you blonde? Are you blonde with...
No, but I love his love.
We're trying to get them put back up, and we really strongly believe they should be up.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show. And this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Of course, our number is 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line, 877-876-7445. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. Later on, Doug Danger joins us. Doug is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier, and the topic is going to be Charlie Sheen. And whether or not Charlie Sheen is a good thing or a bad thing for the entertainment business, your kids, and CBS. Coming up, Ted Bell is going to be discussing a potential lawsuit involving his restaurant and a patron. And what is happening? Ted runs one of the more prominent restaurants in Beverly Hills, California. And here is a guy who is being, he's possibly considering a lawsuit against one of his own patrons for actions that took place in that restaurant last month. So that's all ahead here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show tonight. And don't forget, of course, our news hour comes up at the last hour of the show. And it'll be with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Join us also with our live streaming Phil TV video cast on our website, philhendryshow.com. Now new, enhanced, and by God, I think we pretty much got it in HD.
Well, is that verified?
You know what, man? I think it's just about high definition, I'm telling you. All right. So I gave you all the lowdown on what's happening on the show tonight. We also want to mention that our affiliate spotlight this evening casts its very firm gaze on Providence, Rhode Island, WSAR 1480 AM. Great people in Rhode Island and Grand Rapids, Michigan, WTKG 1230 AM in Grand Rapids. And PhilHendryShow.com is our, of course, our website. Let's join now Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. And we are going to be talking with him about this lawsuit that he's been talking with the not only his lawyer, but us about.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. Come down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got the most delicious cuts of meat and a great time served
here
up every night.
In your mouth.
I know you have a lot on your mind tonight.
I believe we have an awful lot on our mind, Phil, and I don't know what this woman was thinking. I'm not going to I'm not going to speculate. My attorney mentioned that we can talk about it in a limited way, but it's not anything that I think, you know, I don't want to characterize it the wrong way. I can tell you what happened, and I can tell you that it's significant for me, and it's significant to come on your program and talk about this, because so many people in the restaurant business, Phil, are dealing with this. We are dealing with levels of abuse from our customers that we haven't ordinarily dealt with.
And so tell us what happened so we can sort of scope this out. This was an incident in which you were assaulted, right?
Absolutely, yes. It happened, as you mentioned, Bill, it happened in the middle of January last month. We were closing, pretty close to closing. We'd had some late parties come in. And we had a dessert that we were pushing, and we were very, very high on it, and it was a new kind of ice cream. And we also were serving it with our vanilla cake, and we were serving it with our chocolate cake. So we brought the dessert tray by this table, and there was an elderly woman there who, I have to tell you, she was not the friendliest person throughout the evening. So you could say, well, maybe you should have seen this coming, maybe not, I don't know. I said, you've got to try our dessert, please. It's right here on the dessert tray. And try this ice cream. We've got it in three flavors. We basically had this vanilla, chocolate, and
this was the dessert that you were pushing, huh?
Well, the ice cream was, yeah.
Okay, but you're putting it on cake or a la mode.
That's exactly. So she looks at me and she says, I'll take it a la mode on a piece of the French apple pie that we had. And I said, great. And we brought her two scoops. And she ate this. Now, we have been dealing with this supplier, Phil, and I think you know Len Hassinger and his brother. These are two suppliers who deal with a dairy and a dessert, sort of a dessert model, if you will, back in Chicago, and we really got a hold of this ice cream and really liked it. And so it's a Hassinger, it's part of the Hassinger dairy chain. So the woman ate the ice cream. And I said to her, how did you like it? She said it was delicious. And then I told her that it was breast milk ice cream. And that
it was what?
It was breast milk ice cream, okay? And this was what made it unique. It is ice cream made from the breast milk of women. And so we were excited about this product because we think it is a green product, meaning it is breast milk from a human woman. And so we're not taking up space in the traditional sense with the cows or steer. And this was an ice cream that was made from the milk of human beings. So, you know, the overhead is not that much, and it's a very, very delicious ice cream. She picks up the dish of ice cream, and that's when I was assaulted.
And what did she do?
She picked the ice cream up, and she took the dish, which was a sterling silver dish. It was a sterling silver dish, and threw it at me, hitting me in the dish glanced off my head. I got ice cream all over the front of me, and I said to her, I'm going to call the police. And she said she wanted the police to, and I said, you know what, I'm going to be a gentleman about this. I'm going to sue you. Now, her husband, I happen to know, he runs a post-production house in Beverly Hills. And
all right, hold on for a minute. So this woman picked up this ice cream and threw it at you.
Yes. After she picked up the tray, there was some pie left on it.
After you told her that it was breast milk ice cream.
That is correct. Now, her husband is a very wealthy post-production guy. And I got news for you, and I got news for them. And I got news for anybody that wants to hear the news. They don't want me coming after them. They don't want Ted Bell in it. The last place they want to see me is in a courtroom. And I was humiliated in front of my customers, in front of my employees. I was assaulted. And
is there anything in your mind that do you feel it was fair to bring up the fact that it was breast milk ice cream?
What I don't understand what is unfair about that. Breast milk ice cream, which, by the way...
I thought that the selling of breast milk in the United States was illegal.
No, but the selling of breast... Hold on for a minute. And don't... Please, Phil, don't start talking about things you don't know. The selling of breast milk is illegal. But this was on the house. It was also breast milk ice cream, all right? So it was not what we would call, it was not what you're going to call contraband. That's number one. But number two, she didn't pick that ice cream up and throw it at me because she felt it was illegal. She didn't do it for any other reason than the fact that she is a sour woman who I felt was offended by the fact that there are younger women providing product that she can't provide.
And you think she threw that ice cream at you because she was angry that you had served her breast milk ice cream at a time in her life when she can't create breast milk?
Absolutely. And she called me every name in the book. And
did she ever, I'm sorry to interrupt, Ted.
Go ahead.
Did she reference at all what she thought was the quasi-legal nature? And I'm not saying it was illegal.
Look, there was nothing illegal about it. It was, I gave it to her. It was in, the product was made from breast milk. All right. So I didn't sell it. And it's a very delicious, I don't know if you've had breast milk ice cream, Phil.
No, I haven't.
Well, I can tell you I have, and it is absolutely delicious. And as I said, it came in three. We have the chocolate, we've got Dutch chocolate, and we've got vanilla. Actually, we have four. We have vanilla, and we got French vanilla. And we carry those flavors because those are the most popular. But what she did to me by picking this up and throwing it at me, we got a little sidetracked. She assaulted me in my own restaurant. Now, this is a problem that we've had where patrons in restaurants, especially after they've had a few drinks, decide that they're going to get a little bit out of hand, they're going to throw things at people, or they're going to try to get into a fight. And we're restaurateurs. We are not, we're not security people. We're not, we don't want to get involved in fights. We are simply individuals who are, trying to run a business, and we have this this kind of thing happening, which to my way of thinking, Bill, is an actionable offense. The reason why I'm on your program talking about this...
Well, can I interrupt one more time, Ted? I'll give her a number out. It's 877-876-7445. 877-876-PHIL. And we're talking to Ted Bell here tonight about breast milk ice cream.
But really what we're talking about here is a patron assaulting me.
Yeah, we're talking about a patron of yours that assaulted you by throwing a dish of ice cream or a dish of pie. I guess she'd eaten all of it.
Yeah, and that was the other thing. When I found out, and I'm talking to her husband, I said, "You got a problem." I said to her husband, I said, "You got two problems. You got me, I'm coming after you, and you're married to her."
And what did he say to that?
What's he going to say? And this is one of the most powerful guys in town. He's got two post-production houses. But I said to him, "You've got two problems." And I held my fingers up right in front of his face. And I said, "Two." I said, "One," and I was holding the fingers up, and then I would peel one down at a time as I listed it. "One, I'm suing you," which left, guess which finger it left?
So you're flipping the man off.
Exactly. And I said, "And two," and I stuck that one right in his face, "You're married to that." I was angry.
All right, but again, what we're talking about here is the woman throwing this dish at you after she found out that you had given her breast milk ice cream. Do you think that there is anything to that?
Well, I told you that what I thought was to it. I said that the fact that she is not a young woman anymore, all right, she is not able to make breast milk herself. You come to the table and you say, "And by the way, we've got a very delicious dessert this evening, breast milk ice cream," which if you get into the head of a woman, the first thing she's thinking is, I can't make breast milk ice cream. I don't know whether they're thinking woman that's loose. What kind of woman, to be honest with you, and I've never asked the question, but what kind of woman, lends her breast milk to make ice cream? I, to be honest with you, I sell it, or I wouldn't sell it, but I do have it in my restaurant to give away. But I do question, the character, I guess, of a woman that's going to...
All right. So you're saying that you have this breast milk ice cream,
but I just question the character of any woman that would donate her own breast milk for this. But I think you've gotten a little bit off point.
There's parallel things happening here, Ted. And our number, folks, 877-876-7445. On the one hand, you have the woman who threw that dish at you.
the lawsuit that you're going to file, and rightfully so, and I don't know, was there a police report?
Oh, we both wanted the police. I said, I'm calling the police. She said, I'm calling the police, too. I said, you know what? I tell you what I'll do. How about if I just sue you? And that backed her off, and it backed her husband off, and they just, I have to tell you, they fled the restaurant, is the best way I can put it.
All right, well, you've got a couple of things going on here, in my opinion. You have not only the fact that she threw this ice cream dish at you, you also have the fact that it was breast milk ice cream. Now, I know it's against the, I know you didn't sell it.
No, I did not sell it. No, I did not. I'd like you to not keep bringing that up, because I didn't sell it.
All right, so you just gave it to them as a treat.
I gave it to them because it was late. Because we had it, it's delicious, and I said, you've got to try this, and she said, okay, and I said, it's ice cream, it comes, what would you like, and she said, I'll take the, I think she had the Dutch, she had two scoops, she wanted the Dutch chocolate, and she wanted the French vanilla, and there again is another point, you know, these people, when you give them something free, they really want it all, they just reach out and grab, and then you say, it's breast milk ice cream, and she throws the dish at me. So, and I told her husband that, too. I said, she wants a cop. A minute ago, she was grabbing for all she could get. So, this is a real problem among people who run restaurants. When you're late at night, they have a few drinks.
Had this woman been drinking?
I have to believe she was, yeah. I have to believe she was drinking. You've got to be, I got to tell you something, Phil. You've got to be drunk to throw a dish at me. To throw a dish at me. And as I said, there's two places you don't want to see me. You don't want to see me in court. And you don't want to see me standing in front of you after you've thrown a dish and you find out it was me that you threw it at.
So. All right, let's take a break here. We're talking to Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. He owns a steakhouse, and he served a woman breast milk ice cream as a treat. When she found out what it was, she threw the dish at him. There is a lawsuit now between Mr. Bell and this woman. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Is this a, I wonder if this is actionable, and to be honest with you, I wonder seriously about the, I don't know whether it's legal, or if that's the word, the legality, or the tastefulness of serving somebody breast milk ice cream, and not telling them. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted's of Beverly Hills, sponsoring this portion of the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Radio for, I gotta remember what that is, Phil. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. There you go.
Here at Ted's.
In Beverly Hills, California.
Put our meat in your mouth.
Are you a native, Ted?
Yes, I'm from Los Angeles originally. I was born and raised in believe it or not, Inglewood.
Well, when you say believe it or not, people should know what we mean, because it's primarily an African-American neighborhood.
Yeah, can you imagine that? I am white. Not that there's anything unusual about, a white man coming from a place that... I drove by our old house, and it was right there in Inglewood, and I said, there's a black guy sleeping in my bed now.
Good God, Ted.
Well... I don't mean that racially, and I know you want me to mean it that way.
No, I don't. I just don't find that tasteful.
I don't mean it racially, and I apologize.
All right. Our number 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the serving of ice cream to a woman. It turned out to be breast milk ice cream, and the woman throwing the dish of ice cream in your face.
And it was, by the way, it was on the house.
And it was comp, yes. I wanted to ask you before we take one of our calls, do you not think you should tell someone before you serve them food made from a fluid from a human being?
I think, Phil, you put it that way to make it sound as vile as you could, and I really resent that. And
no, I think I put it very objectively.
Well, what difference does it make? That we eat food that is from the body of a mammal. We eat mammals. We eat. What is different from a woman?
We don't eat human. We don't eat human flesh.
Oh my God! We're not talking about eating human flesh. We're talking about breast milk, which is as pure and as it is a breast milk is, I think, the very symbol. You know, I can't believe it. I got a dish thrown at me, and I looked at her. And I said, it's made from breast milk, and she got the sourest look on her face like a woman that's full of hate.
All right, let me take a call very quickly, and I apologize to our callers. We're running a little late tonight. Here is Sherry in Bakersfield, California. Go ahead, Sherry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, ma'am.
I don't know what he's thinking. Female breast milk, why didn't he tell her in the beginning that this is something we're comping, we're giving you? It's a new ice cream. It's female breast milk.
You didn't tell her it was female breast milk.
That is, you're not going to come out and say that because that's the, what do you call it? That's the surprise, if you will.
Okay, that's why you got the dish thrown at you.
Well, it didn't make any difference in my mind whether it was female breast. I thought it was unusual because it was made from female breast milk that it was so delicious.
No, I'll tell you. Female breast milk carries whatever that mother eats. That's why a lot of babies cannot drink their mother's milk because of the filtering. It's got stuff in it. If they're on drugs, if they're on alcohol.
Yeah. Oh,
you fed this woman.
How do you know the woman wasn't? Where do you know? How do you know where this breast milk comes from?
The breast milk the Hassinger brothers use?
Yeah.
It is absolutely. It comes from people that they know, friends of theirs.
Oh, God, man, I don't know if that's anything. Sherry, why don't you hang on the line? We'll be right back with you and Ted Bell here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
God.
Now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Hendry Show is not only brought to you by Ted of Beverly Hills, it's brought to you by Dynapep, a fantastic, fantastic product. Here's Phil Hendry to tell you a little bit more about Dynapep. The micro shot.
Thank you, Ted.
I've tried the Dynapep. I like it a lot.
Dynapep is one of our sponsors, and of course, Dynapep, a sponsor to our program and a product that we use, and of course, Ted the Bear, you know.
I saw Ted the Bear with the bells on his neck and everything. Very cute. Although I didn't like him,
Never mind. Dynapep is a micro energy shot, folks, that we use on this program. I use Dynapep some nights when you really need an extra little pick-me-up. There's no sugar. There's no crash. There's no jitters. There's only 2 calories, okay? So it's a healthy micro shot, and it gets you through the night focused and alert or keeps you going when you've been up all night. Dynapep lasts up to 10 hours with 10 times the power. We have Dynapep here in studio, and if you're watching our video cast tonight, our Phil TV video cast, show you the Dynapep, and then you see Buddy Bear has got some Dynapep. This is the Dynapep that I took this evening. It's a cinnamon-flavored Dynapep, and it is awesome. I may have another one here. It's Dynapep, and go to Dynapep.com to learn more. Dynapep.com. Ted Bell with us. We're going to go back to our listener, Sherry, who is very patient, waiting in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Sherry. And the question I had, and you brought it up as well, Sherry, is selling somebody a product that is a bodily fluid.
You know, you make it sound like I was selling that woman urine. And I think there's a difference between that and mother's milk.
Go ahead, Sherry.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, if you, the scientists say that urine is purified, it is sanitary water. So what's the difference? That's gross to be sending. Why would you?
Are you telling me that mother's milk that we feed babies is the same as someone peeing into a bottle?
Well,
I don't think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
We are? I don't know.
Yeah, you know what, Phil?
It's purified.
I'm talking to a lady.
So you tell me. Okay. How would you like if somebody had served you?
Oh, my God. Are you telling me that you're
a man's body fluid? No, wait. How would you like it if somebody had given you a man's bodily fluid in a tiramisu or in some kind of... How would you like that once you found out after you had eaten it? How would you react?
Let me ask you, how many times have you put that into food and not told anybody? Thank you.
That's absolutely rude.
Well, I don't know why she gets off asking me
something like that. No, it's not rude. I'm telling you.
Ma'am. Breast milk is meant to be consumed, and I think with the other
only,
that you're talking about, no, it isn't. Wow.
Not necessarily.
We've talked a lot of women into it. But
hey, hold on. I want to watch where we're going with this conversation.
What?
A lot of babies cannot ingest.
Like I said, we've talked. The point is, some babies may be able to eat it, and some may not. But it is intended to be consumed. It's there for the nourishment and for the survival of the infant. The other liquids you're talking about is not.
How do you
Sherry,
know?
Thank you so much.
That's the
thank
point.
You so much.
That's
yeah, how do
point.
We know?
How do we know? How do we
how
know?
How do you know?
The two liquids that you mentioned, I have one is a waste product, the other is for the procreation of life, neither of which is the consumption of a food.
One
I can't
life.
Believe that you have me, you know, ma'am, you're starting to make me think what you have for lunch every day.
No, I eat regular food that goes to the FDA.
No, I doubt that, not after what I just heard you say, I doubt that sincerely.
Okay, let's stop while we're ahead.
Has
okay?
your milk for your ice cream been passed by the FDA?
Wait a minute. You got done telling me that a man's you-know-what and something else is perfectly fine as food, and you use it in soups and stews.
So no,
she
that's
never
not
said
what
that.
I said.
Well,
I
well,
said,
you pretty much said
how
that.
How would you like
no,
it?
No, she didn't. All right, if somebody snuck
Phil.
It into a food. All right, Sherry, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on here. It's Roger in St. Louis. Go ahead, Roger, on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'd like to kind of steer this in a more respectable direction. I have food allergies. And this restaurateur needs to understand that a guy like me, if you said, oh, surprise, there's an ingredient, okay, I get extremely ill over certain things. I'm allergic to perfumes and
well,
different
you
things.
Say that?
I would
wouldn't
be extremely
that?
Offended if
wait
somebody just...
Wouldn't you say to me, excuse me, before you bring me that food, I want you to know I have food allergies.
Yeah.
Would you say that? All right.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure I win. I win.
What do you mean you win?
No.
I think you're
bringing me ice cream, and then afterwards you say surprise, you went in the gut.
Wait a minute. If I brought
Dude,
you
I'm
ice cream,
foot,
would
listen,
you not
I'm
say
six
to me,
foot four, and you wouldn't woke up for an hour, and the cops would have taken me to jail because I'd have sat in
jail.
You're a jerk, and you need to understand that you don't pull that kind of stuff. You have a responsibility to the public, mister.
Oh, you're an
okay.
idiot.
Hey.
Well, this guy,
I'm serious.
He's not even going to tell me he's got a food allergy. He's going to sit there. Yeah, I bet you'd be offended by women's breast milk, wouldn't you? That'd really upset you. A guy like you.
Okay, I wouldn't have... Me personally, if you let me know ahead of time, wouldn't have had a problem.
What are you talking about?
Never mind.
You have a food allergy. Yeah, get out of here.
This isn't worth my breath.
You're not making sense. That's why you're hanging up, because you know I kicked your ass. All 6 foot four of you.
Hey, what is it with you?
Well, this guy came on and said,
What's the matter?
Well, he came out. He said that he had food allergies, okay?
What, Ted, if you're emotional about this.
Well, and then I said, okay, wouldn't you tell me that you did? And he said, yeah, and I beat him, and he kept talking.
Are you crying?
Well, why don't you do something to defend me?
The man made a statement, and I think what...
I heard what his statement was, but you didn't say anything.
The point is this, okay? And I think we have to stick to the point. The point is, you served that woman breast milk ice cream. It should have been something that you volunteered.
What about if she has a food allergy?
Whether she has a food allergy or whether she doesn't, as a restaurateur, as the owner of the business, don't you think you should tell people?
What am I supposed to say? What kind of cow the milk came out? If I serve somebody some ice cream and I say it's ice cream, you want me to give them the ingredients? Oh, and by the way, this is ice cream. You know it's made from milk. And here's the kind of cow it came out of. And the cow was raised in New Jersey. And it ate this kind of grass. That's ridiculous. That guy that I just got done talking to is offended by the idea of nursing at a woman's breast. How's that feel?
I'm embarrassed for you.
Why?
Because that was childish.
What? What I just... Oh, man, you are... And I sponsor your program.
Yeah, you sponsor my program. I'm embarrassed for what you just said. I thought it was extremely childish. 877-876-7445. Here is Tom in Hesperia, California. Tom, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. Quick question, Ted. Where does this milk come from,
sir,
again?
What's that?
Where does it come? What brothers? Who offers the milk?
This is a dairy in Chicago, the Hassinger Brothers.
Okay, and you said it's a bunch of their friends that just come in and just supply the milk for the ice cream?
This was milk to be our people that they know.
Okay, and who regulates, you know, who regulates
woman,
the people that they know? Who regulates that?
Regulates?
Like
I thought we were living in a day and age. I thought we were living in a day and age where we had too much government.
We're not going down that road. And don't cry, Ted.
Maybe,
don't cry.
No, that's
Ted, don't
exactly
cry.
What the road we're going to go down. We're going to go down
I'm
that road.
Saying,
I thought we lived in a day and age where there's too much government.
I didn't
now
say that.
Wants government.
I didn't
yeah,
say
you
that.
Did. Yes, you did.
I did not. I said,
no, he did
you
not.
Said that a bunch of women in a room and supply the breast milk. Who regulates to make sure that they're not
getting
paid? How do you know there's not a sign on the door that says, hey, donate breast milk? And who knows what these women are, whether they're on drugs or alcohol or not?
How do I know you're not a Republican that's all of a sudden taking cover under the FDA's umbrella?
I am a Republican. That's why I'm calling the Patriot Hotline. I like...
All right. So all of us... You're a Republican, and now you want Big Brother regulating breast milk.
Ted, you're veering way up. The point is, you're serving this to someone that consumes it. You have no control over where the breast milk comes. Some brother's factory has some chicks walk in and donate milk.
Do you honestly think that's why that woman threw that plate of ice cream at me?
She threw it at you because you didn't say where it came from. You didn't say, oh by the way.
She threw it at me because she was an old, dried-up bag.
You're filing a lawsuit against this family, man, and you're coming out and you're saying all this stuff, and it's going to prejudice the hell out of your case.
My attorney knows I'm talking about this. Okay?
But everything you're saying on the show tonight, they're going to put into a countersuit, man.
She may be a dried, quote-unquote, a dried-up bag, but that you didn't say, oh, by the way, this is breast milk. You said ice cream, enjoy, it's on the house.
Well, hey, let me ask you a question. Milk happens to be the latest thing in nutrition and in food, and we had this and we served it. Okay?
Okay, no. Says who? It's essential for life. I understand that. The people should know about it. It shouldn't be known about, and you as a restaurateur should regulate. I know God forbid you use that word. Where this comes from.
Well, why would you want regulation if I see that's the thing that really...
Let's get
where
off
does
that,
the milk
man,
come
because
from?
The gentleman's right. There's nothing from... There's nothing... what was your question, sir?
He asked me, where did it come from? Do you want me to say it a different way? It's women's breast milk.
Okay, all right, I understand that, but there's no one that said these women have been tested for drugs or alcohol, they're this or that or the other thing. You said it's a bunch of brothers that own this factory, these girls come in, they donate it, now you're giving it away. You're finding the loophole.
These are families, and they are healthy family. They're Midwest families, Midwest women.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Because I happen to know the Hassinger brothers very well. And secondly, if you've got a prejudice against big, fat women, which is probably what they are. I don't think you really are concerned at all, sir.
I have a prejudice about putting things in my body that I don't know where they come from. I have a prejudice against that. If I choose to go and smoke a cigarette or I choose to drink a beer, I'm choosing that. I don't choose to have ice cream.
Well, let me ask you, when you and your husband get together and talk about this.
Okay, what is that crack?
Wow.
You know what I mean.
So what has that got to do with anything?
Starting to cry.
I think he's prejudiced against women's breasts.
You know, I'm not prejudiced. Yeah. I love women's breasts. I love them to death.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? That doesn't mean I want that squirted in my coffee when I don't know the lady.
All right, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. All right, thanks very much, man. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I had to laugh at that last line, even though
I'm a sponsor of this program, and I'm disgusted by you, and I'm disgusted by your engineer, who I hope dumped that. And
he dumps what he thinks he ought to dump, and not...
As a sponsor...
You're the guy that's selling or giving away or whatever you're doing women's breast milk.
Well, now I think I've heard it all. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, please, would you call the police and have me arrested and have me drugged behind a Jeep and beaten because I happen to think women's breast milk is a good thing. Please call the police. Have me thrown in. You ought to hear yourself.
No, you ought to hear yourself. You just sounded like a jackball again. Okay?
How long do you think I'm going to sponsor this portion of your program?
I got Dynapep. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on giving a woman breast milk ice cream. I mean, how funky is that, you know, if you don't tell her what it is first? 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Doug Danger next hour talking about Charlie Sheen.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Welcome to Ted of Beverly Hills, ladies and gentlemen, where we endeavor to be great hosts. And to come into my restaurant and physically assault me as that woman,
Can I make a suggestion?
What?
I would not, in the middle of a commercial, try to make these pitches that you're making on the show, you know?
You know what, Phil? I appreciate very much your suggestion, but I think a moment ago here, I think you showed your colors a little bit by talking to me. As you were saying that I was being rude to some woman who said that she puts a man's fluid into clam chowder. I forget.
She never said anything of the sort. What is it with you, man?
What do you mean, what is it with me? She said she brought that up. I didn't.
Yeah, she did, but she didn't say she puts it in clam chowder.
Well, what do you think she does? She brings it up, oh, well. And I said, it's not edible. Or she goes, how do you know? Well, I can tell you, ma'am, if you're still listening, I'm very proud of the fact that I don't know. So, wow. Okay, I mean, can we...
All right, I'm just...
Are you stunned by how stupid I am?
No, I'm not stunned by how stupid you are, but I think that what you're saying here does not help your case in this lawsuit. 877-876-7445. Here is Jeremy in Cincinnati. Go ahead, Jeremy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
There's a reason why good restaurants give you a menu so that you can pick what you want and know exactly what ingredients are in what you're eating. So it's no wonder why Mr. Ted here has deliberately held off that information of being breast milk ice cream to give to the young lady, not the elderly. The other thing is that when She insulted him.
Can I ask you something? I asked her, would you like to have a delicious dessert?
It's not about a delicious dessert. It's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion, but that's exactly what you said earlier. You like breast milk. You don't know if she does or not, so give her the option to make that decision for herself.
Why didn't she say no?
That's the reason why she was upset. It had nothing to do with her being elderly and not being able to produce breast milk. That is not the first thought that went through her head. It's the fact that you assaulted her because you put something in her body that she did not choose to put in there.
I think it's interesting, sir, that you know her better than I do. I'm the one that she threw a whole dish of ice cream at.
And well, you said it wasn't a whole dish. Yeah,
but you also said,
Ted, it wasn't a whole dish of ice cream. You said it was she'd eaten all of it.
It was a sterling silver dish that you said, and you deserved it because you assaulted her by putting something into her body that she did not choose to be there.
Wait a minute, but you don't know what you're talking about, young man. First of all, the woman said to me, what's in it? And I said, it's a surprise. And she goes, I like surprises.
Wow, you didn't tell me that.
Being this tough guy inside of a courtroom, you should know the term full disclosure. You should have given her the information ahead of time before allowing her to put something in her body.
We're not in a courtroom, we're in a restaurant. We're not in a court of law. We're in a restaurant. And she,
The woman asked you, what's in it? You repeated four different times
how you don't want to see you inside of a courtroom. Or
that's exactly right. That's right.
So you don't want to see me in a courtroom. No, you don't want to see me standing in front of you
after you've thrown a dish at me.
Your intelligence level is about the size of your shoe. So here's the reality.
This guy's going to tell me the reality. This ought to be good.
This is the reality. Your restaurant must not be doing that well for you to have to sue an elderly woman just because you were...
I'm not suing her. I'm suing her husband. And her husband owns one of the biggest post-production houses in L.A. So you don't know what you're talking
exactly
about.
Right.
Number two, he has money and that's what you're looking for. Nobody throws a dish at me in my own restaurant. And number two, if it had been you throwing a dish at me, you're just a tough guy against an elderly woman.
Because had it been somebody else, you wouldn't be doing this right now. Because they have money.
She threw the dish at me. She made me have to be some kind of a clown because. Well, you've had things in your body that you chose not to have, haven't you?
No.
Okay, Ted. Why don't you grow up? Okay. Why don't you grow up?
Yeah, sure.
And again, this is my argument with my 12-year-old little girl because it's the same mentality. Because this gentleman here, obviously,
I guess he's never heard
of the mentality that the customer's always right because he talks about it too much to hear anybody else say anything.
The customer's not always right. Sometimes the customer's a blithering idiot. Shut your mouth and open your ears, you might learn something. Any place you eat, I'm sure they've got at least one customer that's a blithering idiot. And I've got another thing to say.
We're all out of time.
You let this guy go on?
That's it.
So, Big Mouth here, you know something, buddy? I hope you eat. Steak's on me. Come on out to Beverly Hills.
Phil Hendry.
Wasn't a dress code violation. It's a matter of, you know.
I want to see the players start hitting, and I want to see the organization actually.
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem: every time it happens,
Freedom! Long team Tong.
I am a clown.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and where we go. Through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This is a show for patriots, by patriots. And each and every single solitary night here, Monday through Friday and Saturday, locally in Los Angeles, we walk across the softening and pointed heads of liberals and others whose view of reality and their take on the world has never worked and will never work. Even the liberals that they admire are nothing like this weak, ineffective, and confused bunch that we have these days. We have to continue. We don't have to take our country back. We already have our country. I don't like listening to these people say, take our country back. I don't like the, I don't want anybody telling me that I don't have a grip on my, I got my country well in hand. And you do too. You do too. Don't let them turn you into, you know, like you're chained to a galley oar someplace, you know. No, 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 no. This is America. You and I have our country well in hand. We just need to stand up. You know, I would never quote a commie unless the commie had something to say that I could take out of context and I could apply to what we're discussing here this evening, and I could even say it's rather admirable to hear that particular quote in the context of this evening. And so let me quote Mao Zedong. When on October the 1st of 1948, when their little commie revolution was finished over there, he did say something that I think applies to the American people, if and when we choose the proper date. He said, today is the day that the Chinese people stood up. No, no, no. It's not taking our country back. We've got our country well in hand. It's standing up. That's all we have to do. 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Anyway, welcome back to the program. Gas prices keep going up and our wallets keep getting hit. Now the president says he's going to look into it. How about that? Joining us this hour to discuss the situation is Vernon Dozier. And don't forget to visit our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass. And it is there that you will get live streaming video of the show, Phil TV in HD. It is there that you will get the thousands and thousands of hours of audio archives that go back many, many years, the largest archive of any single radio show in the history of the world. It is there that you get the daily podcast. It's there that you get the classic Phil podcast. It's there that you get the news feed and the blogs. And it's also there, by the way, that we have our merchandise store and our brand spanking new Phil Henry Show t-shirts are in, as well as our shot glasses, our coffee mugs, and, of course, our legacy best-of CDs from 1997 through 2005. So what are you waiting for? Get over to our website, and if nothing else, hit the merchandise shop and get the brand-new T-shirt, the Phil Henry...
Yeah, well, you feel like a shot glass.
Yeah, get a shot glass for Mother's Day. Anyway, and we are going to have yet another item that we'll be rolling out before summertime. Very, very apropos for the summer months. 877-876-7445. We'll get Vernon Dozier on the line here. And Vernon, of course, is a educator from Belmar Academy in the great city of Glendale, California. But he's also, along with members of his family, the owner of a service station, has been in the service station business there in the Glendale, Burbank area for some 20 years. President Obama announced today that the Justice Department is assembling a team to root out cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might be contributing to $4 a gallon plus gasoline. We are going to make sure that no one is taking advantage of the American people for their own short-term gain, Obama said at a town hall-style meeting at a renewable energy plant in Reno, Nevada. I'm wondering, and I'm being very honest now, I'm wondering how do you do that? And I'm sure there must be some process or a combination of processes, but I also know that business being business, you know, and these business people, they find a lot of different ways to get things done and to hide things. Here is the president saying we need a comprehensive energy strategy to deal with the high price of gasoline in the future.
This gas issue is serious, but here's the problem. Every time it happens, every time gas prices go up like this, like clockwork, suddenly politicians look around and they discover high gas prices, and they're shocked. And they get in front of TV and they say, you know, we've got a three-point plan to bring gas down to $2 a gallon. And then when gas prices go down, nothing ever happens. And we're back into the same old patterns. And we don't have a comprehensive energy strategy for the future.
There are some short-term solutions to potentially keeping gas prices from spiraling out of control. Obama outlines them here.
Now, there are some things that we can do right now. Last month, I asked my attorney general to look into any cases of price gouging so we can make sure nobody's being taken advantage of at the pump. Today, I'm going to go a step further. The Attorney General is putting together a team whose job it is to root out any cases of fraud or manipulation in the oil markets that might affect gas prices. And that includes the role of traders and speculators. We're going to make sure that nobody's taking advantage of American consumers.
All right, and finally, AAA Senior Travel Manager Garrett Townsend says customers are actually not not canceling summer travel plans due to the high gas prices.
You know, interestingly enough, people are not opting to fly rather than drive. You know, you consider a family of four, tickets and fuel surcharges and luggage charges, it's probably cheaper for them to get in the car and drive, even though the gas prices are higher. You know, it may be reasonable to say that sometime during the summer, you know, we're going to hit the $4 mark. That's possible. Because we see where we're at now, and we're not even at the peak summer driving season. But we really feel that even at that point, it's not where people are going to just put off their plans or cancel their plans. They're just going to make adjustments.
Vernon Dozier joining us, not only a high school, as I mentioned, board member at Belmar and educator, but also your family's had two service stations on Brand there in Glendale, right?
Yes, that's correct. So my father bought them in the late 1950s, and my brother and I both took over the operation of the one of them, my father had the other, in 1979, and then my father died in the late 1980s, and my brother and I took that over. We also have a sister who, her husband has been off and on with operating the service stations, and then we have a younger brother who is developmentally disabled, but has also...
Well, I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your father.
Well, I appreciate that very much, Phil. It was quite a long time ago, but...
And your disabled brother helps out?
He does quite a bit, yeah. And but it's something that I get involved in during the summer months because of school, because of my primary profession, which is as a school teacher. And so my brother Dave has been, and his wife, have been the primary operators of these gas stations.
Now, I know you don't want to mention the brand of gasoline that you sell for reasons that I understand, but these are two. I know the area, and Glendale is a populous Los Angeles suburb, and Brand, of course, is a feeder. This is a feeder boulevard down to the freeway, so people commuting in and out of town, you must get a lot of business.
We do, yes, we do. And
what is the reaction to, can you tell me right now what you're averaging?
In terms of the...
In terms of the gasoline prices?
Our premium is, right now, our premium is $4.79, and we'll look at the lower grades, $4.19. And we have a unleaded at 89 octane, which is at 429. And we have diesel fuel as well. But I can tell you, Phil, that people don't like the prices. Of course, they don't like the prices. I don't like the prices. And I can be very honest with you and tell you that I don't like the prices. And as much pain as a consumer is in right now, I share every bit of it. It hurts me. As the owner of a service station, and you know, a lot of these people are my neighbors. A lot of these people are my, people that I know from the school. They're the parents of kids that I teach. So we know each other very well here in the Glendale community. And to see what my neighbors are going through, having to spend this kind of money, it's very, very tough. And
when you say that this really hurts you, now, you can control price to a certain point, correct?
Yeah, that's correct, but it's not that much. You're not really going to... My hands are tied because, obviously, I need to make a profit. There's no sense in being in business without making a profit. And, obviously, if you see, you know, the opportunity... Obama was sitting here, and you know, I'm glad that you played those Obama clips, Phil, because there's no end to that man's manipulation and how he lies about things. He's sitting there saying, we're going to find out about, price gouging. What is he going to do? The idea the federal government is going to stick its hand into my pocket, just like he's sticking its hand into everybody's pocket that's listening to me right now.
Well, when he talks about price gouging, he's talking about people taking advantage of the disruption, for instance, in the shipment of oil from Libya, shall we say, when we had the disruptions from Iraq. You know what I mean?
Well, of course I know what you mean, but what do you call price gouging? When you're a businessman, and you see that there is an opportunity for you to, as my uncle used to say, make a beautiful dollar. This was his way of saying, make hay while the sun shines. But he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, so he would say, instead of him saying make hay while the sun shines, because he was a Jewish fellow from Philadelphia, he'd say, let's go make a beautiful dollar. Well, it's the same thing. You know.
All right, well, that's fine, and I'm not interested in the ethnicity of the man. I understand that you want to...
I only brought it up to make a... I'm not an anti-Semite, Phil, please understand. What I'm saying is that if I have the chance to make money, am I supposed to say no to that? Well, I think everyone listening is going to say, of course you're not. But I feel their pain. I don't like to have to hear them complain about it. I wish that people would, I've got the message the first time, but when they're coming in every day and saying the price of gas is too high, the price of gas is too high, I have to keep saying to them, I understand. It begins to annoy me a little bit. Now, the average price of gasoline in California is $4.19. Now, I know that...
I want to go back to this thing about when people are whining, bothers you.
I didn't use the word whine.
Well, when people complain, it bothers you. Why would it bother you if it's bothering you as well? You know, in other words, the high price of gasoline you don't like.
I don't like it. I don't like it, and I've told them. I said, this is painful for me to have to charge you this kind of price. It's painful for me because I know you've got children to take to school. I know you've got people to take to the hospital. You've got doctor's appointments. You have to get to the grocery store. It hurts me to have to charge these prices. But I heard you the first time. You know, there's an old saying, you know, our mother, you know, I heard you the first time. You know.
Well, let me ask you a question here. So, in other words, it's very redundant.
Every time they come in. Every time they come in, oh boy, it's price of gas, it's price of gas.
Well, isn't that something you should expect, though? You know,
in what way?
Well, in what way? Because you've got a situation in this country for the cost of gasoline, which is blood in this country. It is absolute blood. It always cracks me up when people say no war for oil. Of course there's war for oil. Without oil, the country stops. You know it and I know that. Okay?
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because some people think that we don't need it, you know.
No, but when people are complaining about the price of gasoline, it seems like a very legitimate complaint because the price of that is astronomical. It drives prices up. It's one of the main reasons, every time we have high cost of fuel in this country, one of the main reasons why we endure these economic downturns or recessions or depressions, if you will, because of the price of food and fuel. And food oftentimes will go up in price because the fuel goes up in price, okay? So this is what I'm talking about. And so you getting annoyed at the customers for, quote, complaining, it seems to me that's the only thing they have left.
No, it is not the only thing. You know what, Phil, you make good sense, but that's one area I can't give on. I will not give in on having to stand there and listen to them crying about the price of gasoline. I already told them that I agree with them. And when they whine like that, it reminds me of a time in my childhood. I'll just tell this very quick story. When my younger brother was born, and my father and mother found out that he was developmentally disabled, they put me in charge of him. And to hear the whining of people saying the price of gas is too high reminds me of my parents telling me to wipe my brother's rear end, comb my brother's hair, and it reminds me of a time when I was put in charge of him. Now, I have done my duty to my brother to the point where he works here at this service station. But I don't have to keep listening to it. And every time these people come in and complain to me about the price of gasoline, it reminds me of that.
All right, 877-876-7445. Phil Henry Show here. Your calls with our guest Vernon Dozier. He wants customers to stop complaining about the high price of gas, and he claims it hurts him too by charging you more. He doesn't want to have to do that. What's your take on this? If he cared that much, why wouldn't he lower the prices? 877-876-7445, The Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The high price of gasoline. We have one service station operator on the line, Vernon Dozier from Glendale, California, who agrees with all of us that we're paying too much, but there isn't anything he can do about it. And I think when we hear someone say that, Vernon, when we hear a service station owner say there's nothing that he can do about it, that's what I think Obama's talking about.
Well, hold on, for a minute. You, this is Barack Obama. Now, let's remember one thing that we all agree on. And,
you hold on, because what you're going to do now is tell me, well, Barack Obama, he's full of crap, so let's all get together and bash Barack Obama. But the fact is that I want to ask, you know, I asked you, can you not control the price of gasoline to the point where it's not going to kill us?
I can't because, no, I cannot do that. I cannot do it because I have a family. I've got a developmentally disabled brother. I've got a wife, just as you do, Phil. Would you lower your price? Do you hear anybody out there lowering their prices? All of the people that are calling into your show, are they lowering their prices for the services that they render? I am in pain. I feel the pain of the consumer. It hurts me to raise the price of gas, but I've got to do it because this is an opportunity that only comes along every few years, as you yourself said.
And so the opportunity to raise the price of gasoline comes along, and you must take it, even though it hurts you.
Well, you're minimalizing and minimizing what I'm saying. I mean, you're making it sound trivial. This is a deadly serious business, Phil, of retail and knowing what the price is and knowing how to charge the right price. But again, I'll say it to you. Barack Obama is the one who has run this economy straight into the ground. And I don't see anybody, you almost like are singing his praises.
All I'm saying is that Barack Obama is the guy that brought up the price gouging thing. Now, when people come into your gas station to buy gasoline, when people come into your gas station to buy your products, and they complain, you don't like that. And
because I've been hearing it my whole life. I've been listening to people complain about the price of gasoline since I was a kid. When my father first bought these gas stations, I remember people coming in and bitching about the price of gas when it was 33 cents a gallon. And I'm telling people out there in America today, I know you're paying a lot for a gallon of gasoline, but think about this. If you're paying $4.19 for a gallon of gasoline, in 10 years, it's going to be 10 bucks a gallon. In 20 years, it's probably going to be, whatever, 15, 20 bucks a gallon.
In 20 years, the hope is, the belief is, the prayer is, in 20 years, we'll no longer be reliant on fossil fuels. We'll no longer be reliant on oil for refined gasoline. We'll be on to some other energy source.
Well, that's all well and good, Phil. Don't put me in that. I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe it was going to happen in 20 years anymore. It was going to happen 20 years ago. So I'm saying, when you look at the price of a gallon of gasoline at $4.19, don't come to me and complain and cry about how it's killing you, because all that does is grate on my nerves. It sounds like my parents telling me to change my brother's diaper. That's what I...
You know, your personal problems are your personal problems. I just got done talking to David Castorini. This is a disingenuousness, okay? You claim to care about the consumer, but you don't. You're making money, and you are making a comfortable amount of money, and you're telling me you care about consumers, but in point of fact, I don't hear you care about them at all. I think you are just, you're pretending like, oh, wow, I'm a businessman, I don't like Barack Obama, and I really hate doing this to people. What the hell am I supposed to do? I got to make a profit.
Well, so in other words, you're calling me a liar.
I'm not calling you a liar. If you want to put that word on it, I'm saying you're disingenuous. If you really cared about consumers, you'd lower the price of gas.
I want to lower the price of gas. I wish to God I could lower the price of gas. As God is my witness, and you talked about Mr. Castorini, you had on the program, I'm a Christian. And I stand before God as my witness. I wish I could lower the price of gasoline, but I can't do it. I'm not built that way. No good businessman looks at an opportunity like this and says, I think I'll go backwards on a price. You might as well do what those men were doing many years ago, whether you would self-mutilate with a knife.
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show, the price of gas. Is it coming down or not?
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier, at number 877-876-7445. And we're talking tonight about the high price of gasoline and Mr. Dozier's two service stations on Brand Avenue in Glendale, California, but all over this country. are service station operators. There are tanker truck drivers. There's all kinds of people dependent upon gasoline refined from oil. And the price of gasoline at $4.19, and that is, I believe I heard that was the average in California. What's the average across the country? Do you know?
I'd have to look it up, Phil, but it's a lot lower than that. $4.19 is the average in the state of California.
Well, we're doing a national show, so what's the average in the state of in the country? It's $3.84. Thank you.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. I want to ask you a question. Our number is 877-876-7445. Why don't you just lower, if you can't lower the price of gas, which you say that you cannot.
It's not me making a claim, Mr. Henry. I'm telling you that I cannot. I'm not saying that I can. I can't. All right? And I resent a little bit you making it sound as if I'm concocting some story.
All right. Then you can't. You cannot lower the price of a gallon of gasoline anymore. Why not lower the costs that you are passing on, the costs that that the consumer is absorbing at your service stations, why not the lowering the price of other products? You know.
Well, I'm not going to lower it here. Are you talking about the price of oil, for instance? Or?
Well, yeah, oil, the price of anything in your store, the price of a candy bar.
No, you can't do that. I can't do that.
Why can't you? Why can't you, in other words, do something to say to the consumer that visits your service station for gasoline, I understand these prices are really high. Let me try to chop your expense someplace else.
I can't do that. And the reason why I can't do that is because I am a businessman, and I am a man, you know, let me explain a little bit to you, Phil. I don't know how much you know. I don't mean to be condescending, but I really don't know how much you know about life and how life is lived. And
I know plenty, sir, okay?
All right. Well, okay, great. I had a father that looked at me like I was nothing. He looked at me like I was nothing. And he dumped in my lap a kid brother that at the age of 16 had to have diapers changed. I had no problem with that. At the age of 16, he needed to have someone come in the bathroom to wipe him. I still have that brother.
And I commend you for that.
No, hold on. You're not going to get to give a speech here. I'm going to tell you the whole story. My father, even though I put up with all of that, my father looked at me and said, you aren't going to employ, you wouldn't amount to. I know, you know, he didn't think I was going to amount to anything. And I took over these service stations, and I turned them back over to Dave during the school year after I got them up and running, and they started turning one hell of a profit. And I did all of that, and still took care of my kid brother, who now works here. He's an assistant mechanic. He's sitting to be honest with you, Phil, right now, he's sitting in the maintenance bay right now. And I love him dearly. And I said to him, you know, when you see a car come in, Dave, go ding ding. Or not Dave, his name is Jeff. But I said, Jeff, when you hear a car come in, go ding ding. So when you hear Jeff say ding ding, a car's coming in.
And what does that mean? Oh, the bell?
The bell, yeah. Now, nobody, and I mean nobody, after my old man said to me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of turd, and I spent half my time wiping his rear end, no one's going to tell me that I don't get to get mine, and I don't get to get my fair share. Now, it's been a long time since my father passed on. God bless him and God rest his soul.
Yes.
But I'm a businessman, and while I feel for the average person out there, when you say to me, why don't you lower your price, I don't even know. You might as well be speaking Swahili. I don't speak that language. I'm an American businessman in the middle of a world gone mad, in the middle of a world where people are socializing communism, in the middle of worlds where economies are being taken over by governments, where the government getting more and more and more of my money. I'm an American businessman, brother. And when I hear people come in here and they say you charge too much for a price of gas, it's all I can do to keep from putting my hands on their throat and pressing my thumbs into that soft part of the neck.
And well, you know something? That's a little bit hypertense, man.
Excuse me?
You know, you can have all you want of this world's profits and making profits and business and taking care of your brother. God bless you for that, Vernon, and all of those things. But when you say that somebody came in and started complaining about the price of gas and you want to strangle them,
I've had it. Do you understand? I've listened to a father tell me that I wasn't going to amount to a hill of cat box. He said I would. Boy. Oh, man. My father looked at me one day and he said, you know what? If you were Johnny Cat, I wouldn't pour you into that plastic tumbler. Can you imagine a father saying that to a son? And when he died, and I told him that I loved him, and I watched as my father passed on, and as soon as he died, this is what I did. You want to know what I did, Phil?
Go ahead.
I went this
way. Hey. Yeah, baby.
And my mother was angry, and my brothers ran. I said, you know what? I was due that.
You got some issues, brother, you know?
Oh, here we go with the issues. I heard the last guy had issues, too.
Well, that is just, you know, 877, taking it out on the customers is unfair. Taking it out on your customers and saying you're going to strangle them, unfair. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Yvonne in Tucson. Hi, Yvonne. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Vernon Dozier.
Hey, how you doing? This guy cracks me up.
I'm good, ma'am.
This guy cracks me up.
He's sitting here
saying what a Christian he is and how he swears to God that he would do this and he would do that. Yet everything he is doing exemplifies the greed in our country and is contradictory to the Christian religion. Now, I'm not a Christian, so I'm not going to fight it on that level.
Okay, then you can't comment. Then you can't comment. Are you Native American?
About our country is laced with greed, and that's our problem. And everybody talks about how what we need to do is we need to curb greed. Yet nobody is willing to be the first as a businessman and step up and curb their own greed.
We need to stand up like business people and start making a profit again in this country like we used to. We don't need to curtail profits.
I am a business owner, and I do it on integrity, and I do it on righteousness.
Let me ask you.
I don't do it on
greed,
and I make money.
What do you sell? What is your business?
I own a wine shop.
What a child you are!
A wine shop, huh? So you sell to all those rich people. You sell to rich people.
I'm sorry?
You sell to rich people. You know who I deal with, ma'am? I deal with the regular people every day.
You look it up on the internet. The concept of my shop is everything is under $15. I am there to sell to the average individual. I do not dream people. I do not take advantage of people. And I do not use Christianity as my basis for being able to rip people off.
Ma'am, if you operate a wine store on Skid Row, there's something right there that needs to be discussed because those men are getting fortified wine. And
what do you mean Skid Row?
Well, she says everything's under $15.
What's that? Why is that Skid Row? Are you aware of what's happening
in the wine industry?
The wine, there's some very good wine for $3. But what's that? $2, Chuck, Yvonne? There's some good wine that's.
If you're going to talk about Bronco, we're not going to go there because I don't sell Bronco's wines. I don't sell Bronco's wines.
Are you selling Sneaky Pete? Are you selling Boone's Farm? Yes, ma'am.
The point I'm trying to make is that you're saying that you're basing your business on greed.
Hold on. What is that?
Hold on. That's Jeff. Jeff, shut up. Jeff, shut up. It's my brother. I'm sorry.
What's a setup?
Go ahead, ma'am.
It's my brother, Jeff. What's that? My brother Jeff was making a noise in the background. That's all.
Well, why don't you tell him to have a little bit of coos? I'm sure he's a Christian, too. So just tell him to have a little bit of coos.
He's mentally retarded. Excuse me. He's developmentally disabled. He's developmentally disabled, if you'll pardon me, ma'am. He's retarded.
Well, we don't like to use the word retarded.
I'm empathetic towards that. And you would think that that would make you empathetic towards several things as well. But the fact that you're feeding off of greed. You're here to make a buck, and you don't care how you make a buck.
Hold on. If you don't shut up, do you want to see me slug my brother? Because with you talking,
And
what is it with you, Vernon? I want to know. You want to strangle customers. You want to slug your brother. You're making a profit. You're making a nice profit. You got a gas station. You tell everybody you're in pain. All right, you're in pain. I would have more respect for you if you said, you know what? It's pretty good times to be a gas station operator. I'm sorry about people having to charge all the money, but hey. But instead, you are making money. You're threatening to strangle customers if they complain about the God, the price. You're going to beat up your brother who is developmentally disabled.
He's in the background going, woo, woo.
And you're a Christian. And you're a Christian.
Yes, ma'am, I'm a Christian.
Give me a break. Give me a break. Then act like a Christian. You know, who was it, Gandhi, that said, I'll become a Christian when I meet one?
Gandhi? Who's he?
Yeah.
The Indian man who was...
I'll become a Christian when I meet one.
I never heard of him.
Act like a Christian. And a Christian is supposed to be unconditional. They're supposed to be loving. They're supposed to emulate Jesus Christ.
I do as much as I can. But you know something, ma'am? I do.
I haven't heard a single word that you said to emulate Jesus Christ.
All my Christianity got worn out with my brother here, my brother Jeff. That's all the Christianity I got.
Really? And you were going to slug him?
Because this lady's voice was getting on my nerves.
You know something? You got very little patience for a guy that works for the people, especially a gas station owner, and especially a guy that's making the kind of jack you're pulling down these days. Thank you very much for your call, Yvonne. Appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. We have Ben in Tampa. Hi, Ben. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Vernon Dozier. Go ahead.
Hello. I just got a simple question,
yes,
Mr. Dozier. I understand what you're talking about when you say, yeah, I want to strangle people because they keep belly aching about gas prices.
Yes, sir.
Now, okay. Now, the only issue I have, and it's, you know, you can interject when you feel like it, but when your gas prices go up due to speculation, okay,
You paid
for fuel that is delivered to your stations.
Don't shut up. I'm turn
no matter. Okay, I'm going to use a rough example. Okay.
All right.
If you've got $4.19 a gallon on your sign saying I'm charging $4.19 a gallon.
Right.
But you paid $4.15 a gallon when it was delivered. And then a week later, the speculators say, okay, gas is going to go up to oil is going to go up to $130 a barrel. And immediately, the very next day, you charge 10 cents more a gallon
for
fuel that you have already paid a certain amount for.
I'd be an idiot if I didn't do that.
No, I know what this gentleman's saying. You've already paid for that fuel, but since you know that in the future they're buying oil for a certain price, you're going to go ahead and jack the price now. That's gouging.
That's not gouging. That's greed. That's being downright wanting to break it off into your neighbor, buddy.
Hey, it got broken off into me when I was a kid. And you know what it was? It was my brother Jeff. They stuck him in and broke it off. And now I've had to deal with that.
What difference does it make when you are...
Buddy,
Jeff, you know,
you have issues with your brother. If you can't handle him, you need to put him where to give him to somebody that can.
Right.
Because, I have had to deal, and I hate the word retarded myself. I literally despise the word. I had to deal with a challenged relative that drowned in a swimming pool because she wasn't watched when I wasn't there. So don't think you've got all these problems because you're dealing with a brother. We've all had to deal with problems that we don't
lucky,
have.
Though.
What do you mean consider yourself lucky?
Well, Jeff's still
you
here.
You need to
consider that's a hell of a thing to say.
Your brother's still there.
Lucky? I've been trying to talk to you here for the last 20 minutes, and in the background you're listening to this guy with a woo-woo-woo, all that stuff, right? I wish I'd get some customers so that he'd go ding-ding or something.
Well,
You're not hearing what anybody's saying. Listen, thank you very much, sir. I got to take a break. I appreciate great call, though, Ben. Thank you. You're not hearing what anybody is saying. You're they're basically saying this. You know, there is such a thing as neighborliness. There's such a thing as being a businessman who knows how to deal in the community. You know, where you know your friends. You say you know your friends and you know your neighbors and you know all of the people that visit your station. And yet these very simple things that gentleman was talking about, you don't want to do because way back when your old man said you wouldn't amount to a pile of Johnny Cat.
Oh, here we go. See, I knew you'd laugh. Well, hold on. Hey. What a funny man. What a great stand-up act.
All right, you know.
Don't act put upon, Mr. Hendry. I'm the one that's put upon, okay? A long time ago. All right, did you hear that?
Yes, I did. If you can get him under control, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with our final segment with Vernon Dozier as we talk about the high price of gasoline here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We have our News and Information Hour next hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. With me is Vernon Dozier. We've had a spirited conversation both on and off the air. Mr. Dozier is a member of the board at Belmar Academy, a varsity football coach at Belmar, as well as the math and science teacher for their junior and seniors, and he is also the owner-operator of two service stations, along with his family. In Glendale, we're talking about gas prices. And you know, Vernon, I will only say to you, sir, that the price of gasoline, you know, is a high price of gasoline. When you keep saying that you have no choice, that you are not going to lower the price of gas because of the way your father treated you, we have no way of arguing. We're not even having a rational conversation any longer.
We are having a rational conversation. As I said to you during this commercial break, we are having a rational conversation with regard to me because of the... You've been listening to my brother, and you know a little bit about my family. And if a consumer already knows the price of gas is high and keeps coming in day after day after day, boy, that price of gasoline is really high, Mr. Dozier. Boy, that price of gasoline is very high. You know, I said to one lady, and she's a customer of mine, I said, you go to hell. And I was shocked that I said it. And she looked at me. I don't think I've seen her since, and I don't blame her. But that's how it affected me.
You told a customer to go to hell.
Yes, sir, I did.
And all she was doing was complaining about the price of gasoline.
All she was doing? What? What have I been...
All she was doing... 877-876-7445. Here is Jason in Durham, North Carolina. Jason, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Jason. How you going, Phil? You know, first of all, straight to the point. I managed a gas station for a lady that owned six gas stations in the North Carolina area. And when the gas had got up to $4 back here when President Bush was the president, this lady stopped the gas at $3.25 at every one of her gas stations, every one, until gas came back down to $2.89. That was the furthest she would take it. She had her own refinery, and she had her own gas station. So you tell Vernon, don't he sit up there.
She had her own refinery. She had her own refinery. I don't have my own refinery. That's ridiculous.
You don't have to sit up there and come out. I can't do this to the gas. I can't do this. You know what? Your key point was, I'm a businessman. You know, dude, $200. You're in it for the Rolls Royce that you got sitting in your driveway. You're in it for the kids that you got going to college. See what I'm saying?
I can't.
bad because I don't have my own refinery like this whole bag has.
Because you're a businessman and you want the money. And I'm at, I'm on the phone, I'm over here listening to you whining about your brother being
If you say ding ding one more, I got a brother saying ding ding, do you understand? If I got a kid brother going ding ding,
Phil,
what do you think I'm going to do?
Ding ding.